Today we are talking fibre fear, chickpea facts, how to make veg more palatable, and about a knitted felted cat. If that isn't a teaser, then Anna, I don't know what else we can sell about this episode.
My bum is not warm like the last one.
Not as toasty. We're not with bum warming car seats. We are in the comfort of four walls, which is warm and dry. And sometimes we'll take that. Yes. If you're out running, then run a little faster. If you're out on your walks, then wrap up a little bit more. And if you're sat inside, then top up the tea, because this is
the Slimming World Podcast.
And this is Questions November 2020. Okay, right, this is Slimming World Podcast. She's Anna.
I'm Claire. I mean, she's Claire.
Oh my goodness, it's like we're Phil and Holly.
Oh, Phil and Holly. Who would you be?
I would be Phil.
Yeah, I think I'd
you
be
You wear prettier outfits than me and get your hair did and your nails done way more often.
Yeah, and I lose it. I'm a lot less professional. Like, you hold it together.
You're saying that Holly's a lot less professional?
Yeah, than Phil. Totes.
Wow, that's defamation.
No, she's brilliant, but she laughs like I would. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, right, as in she's not able to keep a straight face.
Yeah, sees an innuendo and loses it and has to, like, be resuscitated. That's me, isn't it?
Okay, well, anyways, I mean, this so isn't glad. A podcast about this morning. This is a podcast about weight loss, your journey.
Our journey
and their journey.
Everyone's journey. It's a journey.
Okay, as you can tell, we're already in one of those moods. November. This year seems like it's been a bit of a write-off for a lot of people. It's been a bit of a, I was just lucky to get to the end of it. But we're always quite curious on this podcast to keep looking and being curious and investigating, like, what else could we be doing? Being curious about, like, if you are someone who's getting back on it in the run-up to Christmas, maybe just that. Actually, someone in group today was saying, normally at this time of year we have every excuse going, right? We have got the Christmas do, we've got Christmas parties, we're going to see this family member, we're going out at the weekend for this birthday meal. An actual fact,
we've got nothing
for a lot of us. Yeah. And then it's like, oh gosh, what's the excuse now?
Yeah,
so it could be, if you are able to frame it in that way, that now could be the best chance to really nail your weight loss journey more than you ever have. And that's one way to think about it. And I think it kind of reflects in some of the light bulb moments, the wins that we're hearing. Some of the questions are really varied this month as well. So thank you. People have sent these to us on our Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. They've emailed us slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com.
I'd really love a post bag though. Wouldn't you love a post bag?
A post bag.
Like Radio 2.
We have a PO box.
Oh my God, should we get one? I'd love it. We'd probably get one card a year, but I'd love that.
I think all we'd ever get is, you know, like sometimes when you've just cleaned the house, right? You've taken the recycling out, emptied the bins, and then you turn around and someone's put a chicken kebab shop leaflet through your door.
Mine are window cleaners at my house. I had four yesterday. Like, okay, they're dirty. I know it, but stop shoving them through the door.
It's just so frustrating, isn't it? I think that's all that would be in our PO box.
Yeah. Oh, well, I can think again, can't I?
Yeah. So, we're going to get into some of the questions, but I just want to kind of recap, because we want this podcast, which is monthly, to also be a space where you share some of the things that we're getting you to think about in our other episodes and about the stuff that you're celebrating, because quite often we've talked about in your weight loss journey, it can be quite insular, can't it? And particularly if you're someone that's doing this online or doing it from afar, you're just focused on your own numbers and you forget to kind of think that actually there are other people who have been through what you're going through now and are coming through the other side. And some really cool, like, mindfulness discoveries and wins and facts and things, and also very interesting ways that you're listening to us. I think the one that jumped out to me today was on our email from Janet, and she talked about how she'd had a bit of a rough time, right? She had a meltdown, in her words, and she'd been off work for about 5 months. And then she found a book which was all about mindfulness and basically says that this book started her off on this kind of discovery about mindfulness, yoga. And then she found a local studio that did a meditation course. And just that has basically really, in her words, genuinely changed her life.
How incredible.
But the difference that that has made for her during lockdown and not catastrophizing and taking each day as it comes. And that is really what's helping her keep going on the journey.
I think sometimes you have to hit rock bottom to come back and rediscover, don't you? We've both had that. Hit really low points and it's been a turning point. I think if I hadn't had my first nervous breakdown or broken my back, you know, had my spinal issue, I'd never be here today with you. It was all meant to be, Claire.
Yeah, actually, in some of the questions, we've got some questions, haven't we, about headspace and having a tight corset. So we'll dip into a bit more about that a little bit later. I love a good fact.
You are fact queen.
Well, obviously it's got to be a real true fact because you can't just go around spouting the word fact to everything, can you?
But you also like a fact that's quite like left field, don't you?
I like to impress people at a party. Not that we're going to any, but you know what I mean? Like a pub quiz, like you're going to be the one that gets the question that nobody else in the pub gets.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I had a great question the other day. What's yours that other people use more than you ever use of yours?
Say that again.
What's yours that other people use of yours more than you ever use? It's so simple, but it's so weird.
I don't know.
Your name.
Ah.
You know?
Right, okay. Speaking of names, did you know that chickpeas are not called chickpeas in the rest of the world?
I didn't until I saw this.
Yeah, garbanzo beans. That's what they're called everywhere else. So if you're on holiday and you're looking for some chickpeas, of course you would be.
Yeah.
Then don't look for chickpeas and don't ask for chickpeas. You want to be asking for
garbanzo beans.
I knew that you were going to say that with a good voice. Thank you to David Becker who emailed us that. I enjoyed that little fact there. Also, we gave this little teaser about a felted cat. And we got tagged in a picture of this felted cat. Because we often want to hear what you're doing when you listen to the podcast. I love the kind of tagline to this post, which simply says, more crafting, less snacking.
Love it.
So simple.
But so bang on.
Just do something else with your hands.
Yeah.
And basically saying crocheting and crafting is helping keep Amy G's food cravings at bay.
I've got a lot of members, and we've got a whole tribe, haven't we, of crocheters, but I've got a lot that knit for like special care units, baby care units, to keep their hands busy. I love it.
Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when we were sat in the car recording about the Speed Up Your Progress and the end of that episode... I mean, I'm so glad. I don't think it will happen inside here today, but two RAF planes went over us. And it's very amusing to us, again, how you listen to us. Like, many of you right now are in the gym. You are looking hot, I've got to say, on that treadmill, sweating away. Wipe that brow like you cane in it. And basically, Chloe from Kirkcaldy was out running at 5:30 in the morning. It was dark, so she had a head torch on, and that RAF plane caught her out. She thought there was a skateboarder behind her.
We were so shocked, weren't we? So shocked.
She did laugh at how we had to end the podcast and wish that she could have done the same, but she had to carry on with her run. So if you are someone who is out running, listen to this podcast, you're completing your couch to 5K, you are doing the dog walk, whatever you are, body magic, good on you.
Well done.
We've got to say hello to Alfie, as well.
Oh, I know. I think he's our littlest listener.
A littlest listener.
Littlest listener.
Alfie always listens to the podcast with his nana, who is Anne. He is 2 years old, and he always says goodbye to us at the end of the episode.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Alfie.
Hi, Alfie.
So there we go. So that is a few of the little emails that we've got. Wins as well. So Hot Toddy, of which we do not know your real name. We do have to say.
But I love that.
Hot Toddy?
Hot Toddy. Do you like a Hot Toddy? Is that why your name's Hot Toddy? Or are you Hot Toddy? Like, what is it?
Is that like a euphemism for a hot totty?
Oh, is it a lady?
It's a lady.
Oh, okay.
Hot Toddy, we have to say a massive congratulations to. Complaint? I'm reading two words at the same time. Get her Diamond Members badge, but does say that one of the things that she's had to battle with is to make sure that her son gets on board, as apparently he doesn't like the look or the smell of Slimming World food, but he does like the way it tastes.
Oh, it's really hard, isn't it? Daisy looks at it and goes, healthy, mummy, healthy. And I'm like, yeah, it's healthy. Me have crisps. I'm like, no, that's the whole point. No crisps. But yeah, keep going with it.
Yeah, and well done for working on the free to go plan. Free to go is where you get the youngsters on board with eating healthy. Yeah,
11 to 15 year olds. It's a really brilliant plan about just healthy eating and making some great swaps.
Kerry, congratulations, for the first time in 6 years, won Woman of the Year. She says she's not been a massive milestone achiever this year or even the past couple of years, but says it just goes to show that Slimming World is a lot more than weight loss.
So much more.
Cassie has sent us a brilliant long email, which we can't read it all out because it's a bit personal, but at the bottom basically said that one of the wins that she'd had in the last few months was that she threw out all of her old clothes. Some of them were 10 years old. She ordered all new clothes online in sizes 10 and 12. They arrived a few weeks ago and she had the greatest time trying them all on. It cost her a small fortune, but totally worth it, and she just felt amazing that these new outfits fit, except one dress that she's determined to get into is spurring her on.
Best feeling ever.
Yeah. And then Roxy also sent us a message, which had this tagline, didn't it? Good mood equals good food.
Yeah. Mental health wins. I love it.
So she found the podcast in lockdown and she's been doing a lot more activity and things have fallen into place. The main thing that she talks about is her mental health, and that has really improved. Her new mantra is this: good mood equals good food. And she said it's about kind of starting changes one thing at a time. Get your body moving, get dancing, you're hoovering with attitude. I like that. That counts as body magic.
100%.
Your mind, kind of do the simple walk, work on your mind, and weight loss will come later on, and it will thank you for it.
It will.
So some, like, just, you know, it's great to hear that so many people are having good times, right? Because sometimes it just feels like it's not really going your way.
We don't know about that, do we? We've never felt like that.
Where are you at?
I'm in a good space. I'm going to be at Target by the end of November.
Wow.
Doing it. Yeah, I've just, yeah, taken the pressure off and it's just happening.
Yeah.
Whereas I was pressuring myself before. Yeah. Mm. Going back to Greek for me as a consultant, I'd done so well in lockdown and then I had this like monumental meltdown and lost my head for a little bit, but now I've come back, guns blazing. Really kind of learnt that actually the way I like to eat has changed. And I was trying to still food optimise in the way I had done 4, 5, 6 years ago, and that I needed to fix that up a little bit. So for me, I found like I like to eat a lot more in the day now than I used to like to eat at night. I think that's because my job and Daisy and all of that. So I've just started to you know, stress less.
Mm.
Yeah, and it seems to be working. It's coming off pound and a half at a time. Lost 3 pounds a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, I'm feeling positive.
That's good.
You're not though.
I mean, we're going to get into this, aren't we? It's so apt, right? The questions that we're about to read. I was like, yep, I want to know the answer to that. I want to know the answer to that. I want to know the answer to that. I need to think about what the answer to that is. I have been loving the new journal, Back to Group. I'm on the second book. And I have been filling it in every question, every little answer, every little box. I've been logging my sleep, logging my supplements, logging my body magic. You know, I'm working towards my platinum body magic at the moment.
Woo-woo.
And I've just been really putting in. I've been dropping my sins. You know, I had a week this week where I had 71 sins. Brilliant. I can't remember the last time that I had that amount of sins. And I maintain, and I maintain, and I maintain. And it was really interesting. I had a chat with my consultant today and I just went, what more can I do? Look at this. Oh. And she just went, you just need to chill. Like, yes. You are so stressed. You are so trying so hard. And she went through and she checked, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we're cool. We can see that I am food optimizing. 100%. There's nothing obvious that I'm doing wrong. And I just have to stick with it. And then when it's ready,
it will come. I think the thing to know is that sometimes when you've lost so much weight and you've come so far, that final bit can feel so pressurized. And I think what I know of you is that corset has gone a little bit too tight. We maybe just need to release it.
But
let the fun Claire come out and the weight will fall. But not too far fun. So she like hits four pizzas. But I think sometimes when you're watching for the minutiae, it gets psychologically much harder.
Mm.
You know what you're doing. You know how to food optimize. We've been through it with a fine tooth comb in the past. So I think we almost have to let it happen. And that's the toughest bit.
Yeah.
And it's when you can get that mindset to flick, the pressure comes off, the weight starts to fall.
Yeah.
But it's when you're looking at every gram and every sin and every sit up and every push up and you're just like, why isn't it happening?
Exactly.
Like, do I need to give blood? What do I need to give?
Yeah. It's so frustrating, isn't it? Isn't it's like it? A lady said in the group when I went for weighing earlier, when the consultant says, and what would you like to lose next week?
Oh, gosh.
In the most politest voice.
Yeah.
And most, if you've had a crap, you're just like, I don't. No, just some.
Just wait.
And she went, I want to lose 18 pounds.
So true, though.
And then so many of us are like in that situation. We're like, I want to lose all the weight next week so I can just get this done and out the way.
Yeah.
I'm like, sometimes I'm bored of still being on this.
But that's maybe what's getting in the way. It's like, this isn't going to end when you get to target, you know.
That's so depressing.
No, but it's not. The moment you think about it in a different way, this is what I do. This is how I eat.
Yeah.
Because what's your choice? Do you want to go back to the old Claire and put this back on?
No.
So thinking about it like this, it's just now you are waiting to get to this top of this mountain. You are waiting to see what beam of light is going to come down
on
you.
I need to think of it as a long railway line that never ends. Is that what you're saying?
No, I just
not
think,
a mountain, but right, a long railway line.
Think about it like this. What's going to be so different when you get to target? What is it that you're waiting to get back to or add in? Because that may be what it is. You're waiting for this. You know, when you fall in love with someone, when you're young, you think it's fireworks. You think it's just excitement and lust and all of that. And actually, in reality, what being in love is very, very different. And I think what your head is doing to you now is you're waiting for this pinnacle. You're waiting for the white light, aren't you?
Mm.
And that is what's stressing you out. Because actually, have you looked in the mirror recently? Have you seen what a change you've made? Actually, how many pounds have you got to target? Like, would that actually... If I said to you, right, you've got 7 pounds to target, what's that actually going to do in terms of your body?
I know.
It's up here.
But then there's the whole thing of, oh, well, should I just jack it in then and just coast where I am?
Not jack it in, but just what I'm saying to you is, do you need to reframe where you're at? Because actually... What is that? Is that a number you set when you walked in 6 stone ago? Is that a number that you really need to get to? Like, sometimes I think we really have to look deeper at the emotional state than we do have to at the food.
Mm. See, this is what Diane sent us a message saying, you know, she's kind of listening through the podcast. She's got her highlighters. She's got a pen looking through the pack. But she is asking us, like, how do you decide on your final target weight? And it is, you don't really think about it at the start as much, but once you get closer to it, it is a question. And then when the going gets tough, you start to say, well, is this the right time? Am I chasing the right number in the first place?
So for me, the way I look at it is not about the number. How I decide my target was a dress size and how I felt. And actually, the number was what was on the scales at that point.
Mm.
Because I've got to the point where I've got to a number before and not been happy. So I think if you think about it in a different way, is this
do I feel good in my clothes? Do I have the energy I want? Do I have all of that? And then actually the number that you feel at that point is maybe target.
Okay. Because that's sometimes I feel like if I say, okay, I've clearly managed to maintain this figure for the last year.
Yeah.
Should I just call it target? Part of me's like, it's copping out, it's cheating.
Why? So if I'd said to you, right, when you joined, you're going to get to a size where you can go into any shop, buy any clothes, you can have a package delivered and of clothes each month, each 6 weeks, and it fits. You can go to the gym, you can do these things, and you are going to be this number.
You would have gone, give it to me.
Yeah. But now, because it's not the number that you had designs on in your head the moment you walked in, somehow you failed. And I think that's where people really, really upset themselves. Whereas rather than going, look what I've got, you're going, oh God, but I'm still not there.
Yeah. No. This week was the first time that I had a pair of jeans that I know I've put on a little bit of weight in the last few weeks and they felt tight.
Right.
And I thought, okay, that's a sign.
That's a barometer, yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, in order for me to feel comfortable, I want these jeans to fit okay. So there's still some weight to lose there. And then I don't know why, but I looked in the mirror the other day, like a full-length mirror, and I was wearing like my gym gear. And I suppose when you go to especially the gym where I am, everyone's buff and they work hard for it, and they've been doing this for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm only new.
Yeah, yeah. But that's a pressure as well.
I just looked in the mirror and I was like, oh my God, my bum actually looks big in this, you know? I was really harsh on myself. And I don't know, and I haven't felt that way in ages, but it was just a little kind of like, okay, so maybe I'm not ready to quit this journey just yet.
Or maybe it's that little tape that you're playing that's going, Claire, you're nearly there, it's nearly happening, you're not good enough, you're not good enough, you're not worthy. So I'm going to try and sabotage you and make you feel absolutely rubbish.
Yeah.
You've got to be really in tune to that, because that's what, you know, on my wedding day, I look back at my pictures of my body on my wedding day and I'm like, oh my God. On that day, I was like, my arm moved and it did this and my stomach was this. We are creatures that berate ourselves, and you have to recognise what you're doing.
Yeah.
Maybe what is a good thing to think about is step away from the numbers for a bit and think about those genes. Use them as a barometer.
Yeah.
Because then that's showing what your body is doing rather than the numbers on the scales.
Yeah.
Ditch those numbers. Remember Linda Papadopoulos? Treat it like data.
It's a report card.
Exactly. It is. And when you take the emotion out of it, the number 12 stone 1, does it have any emotional attachment to it to you? Do you think about that number and think, do you think about that number or go,
I think 12 stone 1, I'd be like, oh, go on, just get 11 stone 13.
Right. Oh, that's so you, isn't it? That's so you.
Come on, two more pounds.
But what I'm saying is that what we do to these numbers on the scales is we use them as a way to make ourselves good, feel good or bad. And actually, when we can just
there's
look at
no
them
difference
as a number,
really between 12 stone 1 and 11 13. Really,
nothing
is there.
Just psychological.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to say to you.
I mean,
you.
That's a big poo.
Or quite a few wee's. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But I think what I'm trying to say to you is we need to get you out of the minutia and into the bigger picture. Because you are a woman of detail and a perfectionist, sometimes what you do is hone in and make yourself feel rubbish.
Yeah. See, let me just kind of pick on a couple of other people who sent us. So Joe talked about like just the fact that it's so much harder as you get closer to target. Mm-hmm. She's been struggling to stay on plan. She knows why, that she's not seeing the results at the moment. And it seems to be hard for others too. She's in her early 40s now, but did the plan before in her early 30s and only realised a few months ago that she got around the same place and didn't make it to target last time. So it took a decade to regain what she lost. Pull us a little bit more. Any advice for those final pounds? Where's Amy? Amy talks about how she started Slimworld 13 weeks ago, had already lost nearly a stone, just taking out junk food. She's got 15 pounds to go until target now, and the last few weeks is just hard. She's having a 15 sins a day. But asking, you know, as you get closer to target, is this something that you should reduce? Like, say, maybe 10 sins a day, the closer you get to target. But then she worries about, is that going to be sustainable long term? And it's funny that I asked my consultant the same question this week.
So
Am I doing myself favours if I'm chopping down to 10 sins
a day? I think what we do, fear again is like, oh, I'm going to chop the sins down, I'm going to restrict. And I think it's very important to acknowledge where that's taking your mind to, because it's the restriction that could then unravel it all. So a couple of things, I don't know if these ladies have consultants. I would really recommend, if you do, getting to talk to your consultant, getting her or him to help you with the tools, because it may be that we need to look at something like an SAS log or a food diary and really just make sure that everything is in place. Because what can happen, when we first start to food optimize, we can shed lots of excess calories by just getting rid of things, okay? And maybe, and I say this as of my own experience, I didn't fully food optimize 100% to start with. So I need to make sure, and I would do this with any of my members, is food optimizing 100%?
Yeah, I could say a few weeks ago, I hold my hand up, I was not.
And you know what? You know that. You're very honest. And you're also very good at writing it down. So we've always got a way to kind of view it. But for some of us, that's not our forte. So we need to make sure, is every box being ticked? Then look at, like we always talk about, do we need to kind of use food optimizing in a different way? Do we need to power it up with some more speed? Do we need to power it up with some more protein? Almost the last thing I would look at is reducing your sins, because unless you're not calculating them properly, if you are knowing every sin that you're having, then you can absolutely use those. I think when we start to restrict, what we start to do is start feeling that diet mentality. So I would always go and look at, could I add some more S, some more P, really looking at how you're food optimizing, and is there anything you're spotting emotionally, like, and mindful eating too, actually. Am I hungry? Do I need it? But food optimizing doesn't get more difficult or harder to lose weight. I think what happens is we maybe don't use the plan how we perhaps did when we first started.
Well, we take our foot off the gas. Like, yeah. I realise, I mean, I have some whipped cream. It's obviously dairy-free.
Do you want to share this?
Sorry, just joking.
Jeez. Whipped cream on my waffle. But, right, a tablespoon of whipped cream, like, is half a sin. I wasn't really measuring. Who measures whipped cream on a tablespoon, people?
Oh, I squirt it onto the, away the plate with whatever it is, and then squirt the whipped cream and work out the weight. Oh, so easy.
I was just going, but I'm like, whipped cream is nothing. But I mean, I'm saying that's half a sin. Come on.
Yeah,
but it's those small things. And, you know, I've found like a little bottle now, so I know how much milk I'm having. And so I'll weigh out 200 millilitres of milk every morning. And I know that'll get me through three coffees.
Yeah. And it's those little things. And it's those little, you know, I see it a lot. Maybe take your foot off the gas after you've got weighed, have a treat, don't count it. So I would say to anyone that's struggling, let's get you to your consultant. Let's look at the tools. Let's look at how you're food optimizing, because yes, you sometimes need less energy the more weight you've lost, but food optimizing doesn't have an expiration date when you've been doing it for so long or lost so much weight. We just might need to rejig it.
So even things like, I realized I was using my Healthy Extra B the same way.
Mm.
It was always Weetabix, other brands are available. But it was always that, right? Mm. And so then I am making a better effort, I think, in trying to mix that up.
I think, yeah, because I think what happens, if you're anything like me, you get into a habit, you have your porridge with maybe a banana and some blueberries, actually. If I swapped it to a cooked breakfast, would I get some mushrooms and tomatoes, which was speed? So could that be more beneficial? So sometimes just flicking it up a bit makes you do different things, have different habits. So, yeah.
Love it. Let me just jump to Jane. Jane sent a really interesting message. So Jane and her sister are both doing food optimizing. And she says this, how is it my sister can eat a cake and still lose weight, but I do, and I put on 3 pounds. Why is it she exercises less than me, but yet weight falls off her and mine slows down? Where am I going wrong? Why is life so unfair? Help me before I have to avoid her in all social situations, steal her exercise bike, and generally sabotage her food optimizing. I love this. Imagine if you were doing that, like you were slipping tahini into her pasta bake or something like that.
Extra butter, or doing what my hubby did. This is fry light or a one cow cooking spray. No,
vegetable. I looked at making my own Yorkshire puddings for Sunday dinner. It's not worth it. A tablespoon of vegetable oil is 6 sins.
But you can do that with spray light.
Yeah, obviously. But I wanted, you know, looked at making them properly. Yeah. And I was like, no, that's not him.
No.
Tablespoon for 6. Are you bloody kidding me?
Some things aren't worth it, are they?
No. So I could totally I put this under the title, Jane, of comparisonitis, because we have all been there in group where, like, a group like today, I'm like, but I've done everything. This woman is sat next to me saying she's been out for cake 3 times and she stepped on the scales and lost 3 pounds. Will you just do one?
So there's a couple of things to
think
about.
And you can hide
your
facial expression with a mask now as well. That's the good thing.
Do you know, I was saying to my members the other day, I was like, are you happy? Are you sad? Are you bored? Because all I can see is your eyes and it's not telling me a story. And they're like, we're all smiling. So a couple of things to think about. People's metabolic rates are different. The way in which their body
works.
But they're
sisters.
Doesn't
matter.
They're
from the same mother. Maybe. Hopefully. Could be.
Casting aspersions.
Yes.
So people's bodies are different, okay? What it also comes to is how we're creating a calorie deficit, and it can be they eat different free food, they do different things with their sins, healthy extra. So I think it's really important you don't compare, because everyone has a different metabolic rate, a different starting point, and, you know, are totally different. As frustrating as it is, she may just have a faster metabolic rate than you.
Oh.
It sucks.
I've got a niece around like to us, Jane. Yeah. We'll sort her out.
My niece just stops when she's full, but just eats sugar like it's water and it's fine.
Thing is, I suppose, Jane, it might be that she could hit a wall soon and struggle for a few weeks.
Look
and then
you.
You're like, see ya. You know, like when you're on Super Mario Kart. And someone zooms past you at the start and then they keep falling off and you're like, I'm going nice and slow. See ya. You're still falling off.
You're horrible.
I am really.
Whereas
horrible.
I tell you it's her metabolic rate.
No, I'm just
science.
Really competitive.
Yeah, she's so competitive.
And that's not how bodies... But, you know, there was a popular soap brand which did the advert a couple of years ago.
Oh, yes.
With all the ladies in their pants.
Yes.
And they were all... I've definitely seen it online where you look at the same pair of jeans that are all the same size,
yes,
and how different they look. And then women who are all the same size, but how their body shape looks different.
Totally.
That is eye-opening. And I think that's where like me in the mirror the other day, I was just looking purely at myself. But had I had Claire 3 years ago stood next to me in that mirror, I would have been like, I'm fine.
Or yeah, so exactly. Or if you looked at your body with someone else's head on, would you judge in the same way? Do you see what I mean?
Wow, that sounds like a weird sexual fantasy.
What? Shh, that's the other podcast. No, like what I'm saying is you wouldn't judge it in the same way. It's because of your emotional attachment. You'd be like, oh my God, that girl's got a really good bum. Whereas, look,
would you be able to spot your own body if like we
100%.
We put 100 bodies without heads?
Yeah.
And they all look kind of similar-ish. You'd be able to spot your own body.
Yeah. But you see, I look at your bum and think, oh, she's got one. Whereas, have you seen mine? I don't literally... I need to buy those knickers that have a built-in bum. So I look at it with like, oh, wow, I really want a bum. So do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So cut yourself some slack. And the sisters, just don't be competitive. She's got a different metabolic rate.
Hopefully, with any kind of... local lockdowns in place, you might get to avoid each other for Christmas. Never know.
You're so horrible.
I'm kidding, Jane. But good luck and keep us posted on what happens in that. I'd be very curious to hear from you in a month's time and see what's happening behind the scenes. Okay, so let's go back to the top. So Sarah, this made me giggle, right? And I so remember when I first joined Slimming World, there was a lady in a group and she'd lost 3 stone. And the consultant said, and this is, I forget her name, who's lost 3 stone and she's never cooked a day in her life. And I was like...
Was it me?
Was it? I need to sit next to you and find out how you've done this because I can't cook either. And it made me laugh. But Sarah sent us a message and it quite simply said, my question is, I hate veg. Almost all veg, except for onions, mushrooms, and peppers. Very specific.
Yeah.
What can I do to make speed a bit more palatable? Sarah in Bolton. This made me think of my dad, who won't even allow a pea to be present on his plate,
really?
In a restaurant. And but the thing is, I suppose I've learnt this from you about the free food is your friend.
Free food is a friend.
If potatoes and jacket potatoes and baked beans is what you can do, it's fine. You'll lose weight just a bit slower.
Yeah. Right. I come from the premise, if you don't like something, it makes you feel sick, you don't like the texture, don't add it in, because you're going to hate it then, aren't you? I've got so many people that don't like veg or don't like fruit, actually. I would say if you've got some veg you like, try different herbs, try different spices, try blitzing it, try roasting it, try frying it, try roaring it. Roaring it?
Wow.
Try roaring it. It's a new way to cook. Brilliant. But try it in different forms, but also maybe have, you were saying it the other day about, you know, like having 25 veg in one meal and therefore you've got to eat the same 25 veg. Whereas actually if you split them down into five in a meal, it's far more interesting. So maybe have a meal with just onions or have a meal with just peppers, so that you're getting that in. But you know what? If you can't fit the veg in, don't stress.
Thing is, Sarah, when was the last time you tried some of this? Because if I'm honest, I said to myself, I don't eat fruit. I don't really eat much veg. I kind of put myself in a bit of a beige prison.
You do.
It's true, right? But then people said, well, when was the last time you tried? How do you know you don't like a nectarine? And I couldn't answer. And I was like, yeah, fair play. And then they'd have a nectarine, so they'd chop me a bit and I'd just try a bite.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I'm not really sure I'll buy one, but I've tried it and I know I can cross it off my list.
My favourite was you eating a lychee. It's one of my favourite moments of my life. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not something I'm going to rush out and buy a bulk of. But there is one thing, you know, when I came to this 7 years ago and I was only eating a banana and a strawberry, I now, berries, all kinds of berries, red currants, black currants, will be a permanent fixture in my fridge and my freezer. The things I will always try, you know, new things. We've still got an artichoke down there.
Oh, nice.
Artichoke
hearts.
Yeah, they're a right ball ache to cut, I've got to be honest.
Buy them in a jar.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, buying one singular artichoke is not easy, is it?
No.
But the point is, Sarah, my question to you is, how do you know? Like, have you actually really tried? Because it might just be, even if you try 10 things and you like one of those, at least that's one more thing that you can shoehorn in.
I think that's a good point.
Also cooking, like, you know, that rhubarb crumble, we said, well, cooked rhubarb could be...
your bee choice, yes.
Bee choice. So whilst you lose the speed quality of it, it's still getting some kind of fruit in you. And you're just for me, it was about getting used to the texture. So that's why I struggled with fruit. It was the texture of it. But you just have to persevere, I think.
You know what I'm just thinking?
Boredom, it forces you to persevere.
And try different things. Or hiding it from yourself, like blitzing it, you know, into a sauce or something like that.
So especially with veg, because actually if you make it into a smoothie, soupy, whatever it is, soupy smoothie, then it doesn't matter. Like, you don't get sinned. Whereas if you're blending it,
don't do the fruit,
you're getting sinned.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking like a pasta sauce, like a sauce for
A macaroni cheese where you blend...
the cauliflower or the butternut squash.
I had carrot and potato blended or something.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Cauliflower is very good. Butternut squashes too. But yeah, so there may be loads of different options that you could almost... And the way I learned that was weaning Daisy, like, how can I hide my veg?
Well, like courgette, squashette, get a spiralizer.
Yeah.
It looks a bit prettier.
Yeah, totally.
Squaffles.
Oh, I like
those,
a squaffle.
Like, waffle made out of squash. You have to hunt around for these things. Like, you're right, though. It's disguising it, isn't it? Making little faces. You know, like when we used to have smiley face potatoes.
I just got Daisy on those.
And the alphabet potatoes. Maybe that's like what we have to do to ourselves as adults too. Like, why did you stop doing that at a certain age? Should still do this as an adult.
Phil left me, because obviously Daisy can't read, he just left me a rude word on her plate. I was like, Daisy can see what... He's like, she can't read that.
I'm so intrigued, I want you to tell me what that rude word was. So maybe, Sarah, just persevere, but also know that actually, if you're not loving the fruit and veg, there's still a way around for you to lose weight on this plan, and that's the cool thing about how flexible it is. It just might be that you're only getting the 1 pound losses instead of the 3 pound losses. That's what I learned anyway. But it's finding a way that's sustainable. So fibre, I've put here. Hansaid talks about this. Fibre is obviously something that I'm highly interested in as the fibre queen.
Wind.
Well, as a vegan, you certainly up your fibre.
Yes.
I like the politeness of Hansaid's message. Good afternoon, both.
Oh, thank you.
Good afternoon. I would like to ask a question about the increase of fibre. Recently, as it's cold weather, I have been cooking soup in a slow cooker with lentils and chickpeas.
Nice.
Also known as...
Oh!
You've forgotten it already.
No, I don't know the name.
Garbanzo beans.
Garbanzo beans.
Come on, stay up.
Sorry, I'm reading the message.
Okay, yeah. But I realise I maintained this week. After listening to your podcast and reading the book... where we did things that you never noticed. On page 7, it mentions liquid intake needs to be increased as you up your fibre.
Yes.
I'm actually scared of fibre now. Please let me know if I need to measure them.
Oh.
So she's upped the fibre. She's now thinking, oh, do I need to eat more, have more water? But what was the point of it all? Because I've just maintained. Is it all down to the extra fibre? Is that what's to blame? Because she didn't drink enough water. Like, I mean, this is where your head goes a bit mad, isn't
so
it? Really?
My instinct is saying it won't just be the fibre.
Okay.
That's what my instinct is saying. However, it's really important, you know, that a lot of fibre for some people can cause a slight constipation issue.
Yes.
So you do need to make sure it's like, well, we used to sell I can't say the name, but we used to sell a like crisp bread in group that literally you would have to drink 14 million litres of water.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So keeping that fluid going through so that you've got, because the fibrous activity in the tummy can cause a bit of bloating to some people or a bit of constipation. So that's why we say fluid. But it'd be wrong of me to sit here and say your maintain is from too much fibre. So we'd want to check out if there was anything else going on. But don't fear fibre. Oh, there's a new saying. Don't fear fibre. And you don't need to measure it, darling. It's absolutely fine. But it's like me. I can't, with my tummy problems, tolerate high amounts of beans, pulses, lentils, anything like that. I know it causes havoc in the wind department and bloating situation.
See, water is also something else that Kellyanne dropped us a message about here. Let me find her message. Talking about water, hydration and weight loss.
Okay.
And she said that she loves me when I geek out and go and do a bit of research. And I did do a bit of a Google around this, actually.
Did you?
So she was just talking about, let me just find her message so I can actually word it correctly, Kelly, as opposed to just making up what you actually said. My question would be, how does being hydrated enough affect your weight loss? And I went and Googled this because as someone who is increasing more exercise at the moment, people often say like, oh, well, as you up your exercise, you should drink more water. I'm having a lot more fiber. I should drink more water. Mm. And it was really interesting just kind of seeing like the different impact that it has. So it was talking, hang on, let me just find where I've written it down. The fact that water is a natural appetite suppressant. Mm. When you kind of put the water in your stomach, it sends the message to your body to say, oh, actually, she's all right. She's not hungry. She's okay for
a bit.
Yeah. The fact that drinking water can help burn calories too. So it increases like the body's resting energy expenditure.
Does it?
Yeah. Because then, particularly if it's like kind of cold water, your body's then got to kind of like, kind of wakes it up a little bit. It's a bit like, you know, when you wash your hands earlier, then my boiler had to kind of heat itself
for
up
about
afterwards.
12 years. Yeah,
exactly.
I think from a point of view, from my, just what I would say as a Slim More consultant, is that 6 to 8 glasses of non-alcoholic fluid a day, it won't stop your weight loss if you don't have it. It won't make you lose more weight if you do.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Like, I think sometimes we get caught up in the fact, I need to drink water to lose weight, or I've not lost weight because I didn't. We know for ideal optimum functioning of the body, you'd keep hydrated. But if that comes in sugar-free cordial, that comes in, you know, your tea and coffee, that's fine.
Yeah.
What we would recommend is that you just make sure you keep hydrated. I kind of, at points in my weight loss journey, have become really fixated on it. And like, I've got to do this to lose weight. What I've noticed is that sometimes I'm really thirsty and I think I'm hungry. So that's the biggest changer for me. If I drink more, I notice I eat less because I'm actually keeping hydrated rather than thinking I'm hungry.
See, I mean, I didn't realise like the impact it has on your poo.
On your poo.
Thanks for saying that really. I mean, I was whispering so that like, you know, anyone listening in the gym or in the car or something would be embarrassed for you saying the P-double-O. But like, things like, if you're not, you know, like everyone does the little kind of before they weigh dance, and there are certain tick boxes you need to have. For me, that needs to happen before I step on the scales.
Do you do a dance to make it happen?
No.
Oh, that's what I thought you meant. Like,
but what I hadn't realised was that I think I'd been tricking myself, saying, oh, I don't want to drink loads of water before I weigh because it's really heavy.
Okay.
Water weighs. So, but actually, things like it could help your digestive system. That's a more polite way of putting it.
So, yeah, you'll have a healthier poo if you're hydrated. We were talking about this earlier about, like, do you eat before you get on the scales? I would just say to anyone, do it once, have your breakfast, have your lunch, have your dinner, and then do the same thing consistently each week because it will weigh the same in your tummy. Yeah. Don't do starve yourself ways.
So the other thing that I didn't realise is in terms of, like, helping, like, metabolism as well. Also with workouts as well. So you know, you were kind of saying about, like, the body functions and things like muscles, tissues, joints, lungs, heart, kidney all need this for water. And I think we talked about on the drinks episode a few weeks ago how just a small amount of, like, reducing the water can have a huge impact on your body without you even realising.
Your mind. They say, like, when you need to pep me up, like, don't go for caffeine, go for water. It actually makes the brain far more, what's the word? I don't know what that is. I need some water, clearly.
The equivalent of satiated.
Hydrated. It functions better. Clearly,
I've drunk too much coffee. That's a scientific statement right there.
Yeah.
So, Kellyanne, I don't know if that really answers your question, but basically, I think you and I are both learning, just drink some more water. Don't question it too much. It's actually really good.
It's not going to harm you.
No, that's true. It's not going to necessarily help you lose weight on its own, but it will have a knock-on effect on other things that might stop you overeating, snacking, that kind of stuff. Okay, staying on, like, the kind of healthy for your whole body kind of type stuff, Emily asks a really interesting question, because I think a lot of people right now are worried about their immune system. They're kind of reaching out, looking up things about vitamins, about supplements, because we all want to make sure we keep tip-top healthy, because, you know, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. Emily asks, vitamins, should they be sinned? I mean the standard tablet ones, not the chewy ones, as they would be sinned for sure. I've just started taking an omega 369 tablet. There's no nutritional information, as they're deemed a medicine, I guess, but it has olive oil in, which is high in sins, blah, blah, blah. So, like, what kind of things catch that? Because there's also, like, cold, flu medicines. I mean, this is minutia detail, isn't it?
Shall I walk you through it?
Okay.
Okay. If we're going for a standard vitamin supplement, they're absolutely free, like a tablet that you swallow. If you were going for, like, an effervescent vitamin that you put in water, they are kind of more sweet-based, so they would have a small sin value, and most of them are listed online.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of them will have, like, some sugars in it, additives, so it's a very small sin value, but they would need to be sinned.
But if you're doing it every day...
We're only talking about half a sin to a sin, so nothing major. If you're going down the cod liver oil, the omega oils in tablets, they are fine because it's a small amount of oil. It's quite negligible. However, if you were taking that supplement as an oil, like on a spoon, then they would need to be sinned, like, as other oils would be, because you are taking on that oil. So 6 sins a level tablespoon, about 2 sins a level teaspoon would be the rough estimate if you were going for that. Because we know long term you're going to be taking on those oils, and there's far more oil in the teaspoon than there is in the capsule.
Okay. Right.
In terms of things like... what were you asking about?
Cold and flu medicines,
Yeah, so things like tablets are all free, but if you were going to take, like, a powdered form that you add with the water, like in a packet, they would be sinned. So would lozenges. So a well-known brand that you would take if you had a cold and flu can be, like, 1.5 sins a sachet.
Is that because they've got sugar in or something?
Yeah, and all sorts of other gubbins in that you've got. So it's like when you look at sweetener itself... doesn't contain energy, but the powder does. So like a jar of sweetener, like a big jar, would be like 400 calories. So that the powder it's suspended in contains the energy. So it's probably the same with the lemon sips and stuff. But yeah, don't get stressed out if you're taking an antibiotic, a vitamin or anything like that. But if you are knocking back the oil on the tablespoons and you are hitting, you know, 15 packets of lozenges in a week when you've got a cold, you're going to need to take some zinc.
I mean, the thing is, if you're not well, and that's what you got in,
that, and
take
that,
it.
Do you know what? That's what I'm in the headspace of. But it's really important that you know, because sometimes people will come in, they will have nailed a box of, you know, cold and flu things, the powders, they will have eaten 14 tubes of lozenges and not have lost weight, and they don't realise they've taken on those extra zins.
Wow.
I'm not saying don't have them, because that's what I would take, but just be mindful. Good question.
Yeah. Nice one, Emily. I did not know that.
There you go.
Okay, so alcohol seems to continue to be a popular subject on our listeners' questions. Okay, so alcohol, where am I going here? Busy Kitchen says, how do you drink? Drinking whilst on Slimming World. I seem to drink all my sins over a weekend. Ellen, on the other side, talks about, why is it I can commit to a sober lifestyle yet struggle so much with a Slimming World lifestyle? It should be so 5 months of not drinking. So this is sometimes a trick that people kind of fall into, isn't it? Like an either or, when actually you can lose weight and still drink on the plan if that's something that you want to do.
100%.
Whilst we choose not to.
Yeah, but we choose not to for different reasons, haven't we? I think what I know as a consultant and what I see of my members is they fall into two camps. Some people can have a drink, just be a couple of gin and tonics. It doesn't trigger them. They can keep it in a quantifiable amount. Some people are the drinkers like I was, get hammered, eat loads. So therefore, the decision they make is to stop drinking because their tipping point is just too disastrous for them. They also maybe only want to drink wine and they don't want to have as little wine as you can for your sins. So they decide to give it up. So I think it's about deciding that really annoying thing. What do you want more? Because for me, I was the person that drank all my sins, then ate 6 weeks worth of food. And then I couldn't keep going on that roundabout. Roundabout? No, that's not a roundabout. What's that? Hamster wheel.
Hamster wheel. Yep. Yeah. The hand gestures worked. Do you know why I kind of put Ellen and Busy Kitchen's comments together, right? And some people be like, why? One's nailing the sober world. One is like kind of going on the pendulum. For me, when I joined Slimming World and then a few months later started to knock alcohol on the head, I actually realised the thing that was tripping me up was the same thing. So by learning the skills of stepping away from alcohol, I realised, well, why is it I drink? When are the times I might crave or be triggered? And actually, they were the same reasons that I would fall over for food.
Yes.
That treat mentality, that reward mentality, you've been good, therefore you can. And I kind of thought the issues of why I'm reaching for both of them are the same. So dealing with the kind of the topics, I suppose, rather than separating out the food and the alcohol as two separate beasts, because actually at the core of it, it may be the same
thing.
The same reasons why, and the triggers are the same.
That's a good point.
That's my personal opinion. Yeah. And it might be, you know, I would say for Ellen, who hasn't had a drink for 5 months, look at what you've learned by not drinking, like which areas used to kind of trip you up. And can you apply lessons you've learned and tactics that you've learned through coping of how not to drink for 5 months? Because that's an incredible
achievement,
you know, especially in the last 5 months. I mean, there'll be so many people listening to thinking, geez, I've drank more than I've ever drank in the last 5 months. So there's always a choice. But could you take the lessons you've learned from that and apply it to your food and see whether there's some crossover?
Good point. Yeah, like
just
it.
One of those things. Catching up on speed late at night if it's not in my meals. Hello to Carol from Melbourne, who's doing this online without the group support. This is interesting because, so like, she's got her meals, but they're not action-packed with the speed. And then she's kind of like, ooh, with the, I don't know, I imagine her late night melon snacking or something.
Well, that's right. let's simplify this. We know that if you get one third spread-free in each and every meal, you're going to be controlling your portions without thinking about it. You're going to be getting the most filling food for the least amount of energy. So that's why we recommend it, because it'll keep your weight loss sped up. However, what doesn't work is when you've eaten a meal, you're full, and you then go, I've had no speed. Let's eat lots. I don't need it, but let's eat lots, like I used to do.
You were kind of trying to erase vodka with ham and melon.
Yeah, I used to think that speed somehow rubbed things out. Eat speed, lose weight. No. Eat speed, control your portion, keep filled up for very few calories. Really brilliant in terms of nutrients. So if you want to eat the speed and you need the speed, you're hungry, you need that, eat it. However, don't just eat it because you think you're going to get a better weight loss.
Okay, good, good. That's very, very interesting.
Is it?
Fitness. So Nicole, like me, has been really kind of upping her body magic. I've gone from someone who used to just casually poot along on a bike and walk to
CrossFit.
Of 3 years, yeah, now doing barbells and dumbbells and all kind of burpees.
Bells.
And Nicole has also gone on a similar journey where she's doing boot camp sessions twice a week.
Love that.
She's doing it to feel fitter, and she's really kind of putting something in this to combat some mental lows. However, she is stuck, and I understand this, that she feels that upping her exercise impacts her weight loss, and then she never seems to lose. And if she does, it's only half a pound here or there. So she's just so frustrated because she's like, well, what is the point in paying to be weighed when the numbers never change? Aww. But she knows she's making a positive change. She needs to exercise for her mental health, but standing on the scales actually just makes her feel really poo. Aww. So she can't win. In capital letters, help. And part of me is like, I've been up in my exercise more than I ever have, and I am sticking at the same. And people, you start kind of going a bit mad, don't you? Where you're like, I don't know, my BMI is this, my body fat percentage is this, but maybe muscle weighs more than fat, so that's why I'm maintaining. But then I need to cut the sins because I've got to reduce the calories. So then you start going mad.
So just remember, a pound of fat and a pound of muscle is the same thing. It just looks different.
Right, okay.
It's a pound.
Right.
What I would honestly say to you, sweetheart, is what we need to look at is celebrating the fact that you're being that active, celebrating the fact that you're doing this, celebrating that the way your body looks is probably massively changing. But let's go back to basics with the food. You're in group, you've got a consultant, let's go and get some support from your consultant. Because what I would do if I had you as a member, first thing I'd look at, darling, is your food diary. See what help and support, if any, I could give you. It may be that that's bang on. If that didn't give you any support or any ideas, we'd then go and look at a tool like an SAS log to see if there was anything minute that was going on. But no, the exercise will not be stopping you losing weight. It will be doing so many beneficial things. It will be speeding up your metabolic rate. It will be toning up your body. It will help boost weight loss. So what I'm thinking instinctively, and with, you know, 10 years under my belt as a consultant, let's get back to that food diary, because there may be something that we need to look at with that. So, you know, talk to your consultant, because your consultant will totally get it, will have seen it many times, possibly have the same thing themselves. Another thing to look at is measuring those inches. Claire, do you remember when you felt fed up a few months ago and you were like, hold on, I measured.
I'm wearing clothes now that I wasn't able to fit into last year, yet I weigh a couple of pounds more.
Exactly. So it's, again, going back to that adage from Linda, look at it as data, look at it as science. Don't fire your head with the numbers. And what your message is saying to me is that you are beating yourself up about those numbers, not celebrating the fact you're going to boot camp, you're getting to a group, and the amazing lifestyle changes you're making.
Thanks for that.
Thanks.
I felt like you talked to my heart.
Did you?
Yeah.
She gave me a little wink, guys.
I didn't wink.
Was that a wink?
No.
What was it? Was it a twitch?
Put your glasses on, love. Vicky, how do we find the headspace when everything around us is 1,000 miles an hour and we just find ourselves bouncing from one thing to another? I find it leads me to face planting the treat box.
Get that. Yeah. Do you know what I would say, darling? We've got to break it down into something that's achievable. So I often tell you, and go back to when Dad was dying, and I had two choices. I had choices of going and eating my feelings, or choices of taking control and feeling good about something. But I had to make it very doable. I had to strip it back. I had to make it about a packet of ham and a packet of carrots on the motorway. I had to make it things that were doable rather than another pressure. So you're going to eat, right? You're going to eat when life is bad. You're going to eat when life is good. You need food. So thinking about, I've got a choice to make this food something that makes me feel good, or make me something that feels bad and not positive. So I'm going to make the choice that actually the treats don't feel good. They're instant gratification. But what would feel better is doing this, and almost treating it as something positive rather than another emotional block to add into the crazy world.
Yeah, Google that surf the urge that we've talked really about a good. Few times. Do you know someone that said to me an analogy a few months ago? No, maybe it was a year ago, that really hit a nerve for me, right? I don't know whether you drive, Vicky, but I'm sure you can apply the principle. If you were driving somewhere and you suddenly realised you have no idea where you are, you've got lost, you're not really anywhere near where you think you are, you wouldn't just keep driving hoping that you would eventually get there, right? You probably,
unless you're like me as a driver, you would. That's why, No, I totally know what you mean.
But you would pull over safely.
Yeah, of course.
Park safely. And
using
legally.
Your indicators.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Look in the mirror, indicate. And you would probably, I don't know, pull out Google Maps or get the road map out and be like, right, where am I? Okay, how do I get back to where I am?
Yeah.
You would stop.
You'd
and
ask
you would just
someone.
Be like, yeah, can I get some help? Why is it that in life, sometimes we feel so lost and out of completely directionless, but we just keep going, hoping that things are going to change and we're going to get to this place that we're hoping. Why do we not stop, take a second and just refocus and ask for help and then continue? Mm. Like, what is it that we have to be superwomen just to kind of like hope that we're going to be getting to this place when actually it's just not possible? And I used to feel really guilty, like I was cheating. When I would stop and do, I don't know, a meditation in the middle of the day for even 3 minutes, right? I would feel like I'd be cheating if I, you know, wasn't on my emails or responding to every notification on my phone immediately all the time.
Yes.
And then I realised, I just got to stop. And just sometimes it's really poignant to kind of just like, if we all did it right now, right? We just stopped and thought, like, actually, how am I? And a lot of our emotions we feel in different parts of our body. Oh. So if you're someone that like is feeling quite tearful, like where are you feeling that? Is it like pain in your heart? Is it your stomach that's aching?
I get pressure here.
I feel it a lot in my throat.
Oh, do
I feel
you?
Like I can't get the words out. Like it kind of seizes up my throat a little bit.
Oh, wow.
And so kind of observe, like, where is that pain? Like maybe your shoulders are a bit tight today.
Oh,
and if you just keep going, you haven't noticed that stuff. And if you actually make time to do that, you'll find you're adding a pause before you actually just default face plant into the tree box.
I would also say I watch a lot of my members use their group space as their time to refresh, kind of offload. They might spend an extra, before we were in lockdown, a 10-15 minutes in group doing a plan for the next week. Like, use that time efficiently. But above all, know it's okay to feel overwhelmed and that you can change that. You really, really can. I like to do like a brain dump. So before I go to bed at night, get everything out of my head so I can have a really clear night's sleep. Hope that helps.
Chloe's talking about the corset being too tight.
Yeah,
she started cutting out her healthy extras. Aww. She's cutting down on carbs, but then when she kind of starts bringing them back, she can't let the guilt go, so she just feels kind of quite trapped at the moment. How can she kind of get out of this pattern of, it's just when you want it so much?
I think I've had to recognise that I do did my own variety of the plan. There was one end of the spectrum that was extremely loose and was kind of trying to food optimise. And then the one that was so restrictive, I wrote my own plan. We know scientifically over 50 years that food optimizing the way it's set out, you will lose weight. What's happening is that little voice within you, my Delilah, your whatever she's called, is rearing up and saying, you've got to do X, Y, and Z to lose weight. And if you don't, you're not going to lose weight. It's not going to happen. And what's happening is that tape is playing so loud in your head that it's causing you to go to these extreme measures, which probably inadvertently may end up making you sabotage even more. So I would, if you've got a consultant, I think maybe what we need to look at is something like a for and against list, where we're looking at why you want it and how you want it and where the fear's at, because actually it's fear that's overtaking you right now. Whereas actually, if you food optimize 100%, eat all those lovely carbs, have all those beautiful sins, the healthy extras, you're going to feel in a much better mood, you're going to be full, much fuller, much more satisfied, and you'll have a far more enjoyable weight loss. So totally get where you're at, but maybe we just need to go back to basics.
We had a message from Ashley as well, who's doing really well on the journey and is hoping to be at Target by Christmas. Oh. She was asking us, how do we mentally prepare for Target? How do the rules change when we get there? She's the type of person who likes to know what to expect, to visualise and prepare for it. The thing that I would say is go check out an episode which we did, Ashley, that's dedicated to this. We're not going to get into too much of the stuff, but the Slim for Life plan is actually available on the member website. I've even looked at it. I'm not at Target and I'm just a member. Anna's a special consultant.
A special consultant?
And it is there if you need to know. But we actually did an episode 72, which is called Target Weight Myth Busting. And we discuss the Slim for Life plan. I'd say rather than go into the full detail. Yeah. Here and now, go check out that episode.
And it's not a top secret and it's nothing very different really, is it?
No. Taryn dropped an email actually, saying about Christmas, because, you know, it's kind of getting to that time of year where we're starting to think about it.
Yeah.
Do we stick to plan on Christmas Day or do we have a day off? She's already thinking about that. She's kind of quite new, so is thinking, I'm not sure I could deal with a gain yet. What do we think about Christmas?
Do you know what? I'm of the school of thought it's about choice, but it's also about knowing what the choice can bring you.
Yeah.
So I have done food optimizing on 15 sins on Christmas Day. Had a beautiful Christmas Day. I've done it with a bit more flexibility and I've done it with reckless abandon. I would say the reckless abandon is the one I enjoy least because I'm not eating and really tasting it. I'm binging because it's Christmas. So, you know, this will start to be happening in groups as time goes on very soon, probably. We'll talk about the strategies, about actually what is it you really want to enjoy on Christmas Day? What does Christmas Day look like that's going to be enjoyable, but then you're not going to come back with that gain on the scales? Because if you want to go and enjoy Christmas Day and eat everything, that's cool, but know that you might come back with half a stone on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Actually, if it's about saying, actually, I want a bit of cake and I want some goose fat Yorkshire puds, but, you know, for breakfast, I'm going to food optimize it. You could really enjoy it. So, you know, don't throw it away. Make a plan, because actually, you could enjoy a beautiful Christmas and maintain. I've had people lose weight at Christmas because it's not their thing. But also, I've seen people who used to adopt Christmas like me. It's about eating the big tubs of chocolate. It's about drinking all the liqueur and all of that. When actually, do you know what? I just go to bed with indigestion.
See, I've also done the same where I've lost half a pound over Christmas 1 year. I gained 3.5 pounds over Christmas 1 year. But also I think it's easy when it's your first to like build it up into something that it really isn't. Actually, it wasn't Christmas Day that caught me out. It was the days afterwards when all the chocolates are still lingering, when the cake's still, the leftovers that you don't really plan for. You plan for Christmas Day, but the days after, when you're a bit tired and maybe a bit hungover, that's when you can get dangerous.
I think the hardest bit I see for members is the week in between Christmas and New Year, like no man's land.
Yeah.
Because what else is there to do?
What day is it? Yeah. What year is it?
So yeah, there's loads of features on the website. There are loads of things that will happen in group about how to handle Christmas.
So it's always great looking back in hindsight. And Taryn, you will feel the same this time next year. You will be telling other new members what you did and how it was.
Yeah.
I remember the first Christmas that I did where I didn't drink and I was so nervous about getting through Christmas and New Year without having a drink. I built it up into this almighty thing where I was like, God, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And so I was like, no, if I just drive everywhere, then I definitely won't cave. There's going to be temptation. Christmas is always quite an emotional time for me. So I felt like I kind of needed a drink to get through it.
Yeah, I get that.
And I almost like overthought of it. Not like me at all.
Never.
But now, I don't, it's a nothing affair. It's a nothing deal, right? A couple of years later, I'm like, oh yeah, it's Christmas. It's just
is it different now you're vegan?
Last year was interesting because...
It's your first folly.
Well, it was the first Christmas I didn't have any chocolate or cake.
Or booze. Oh my God. Well, you've done booze before, but wow.
Yeah. So it's amazing, isn't it? How like in years to come, you'd be like, oh, what did I stress about that?
Yeah.
What's the point?
Totally.
So... That is Listeners' Questions November 2020. Next week, we have got... talking about Body Magic Awards, actually. I'm hoping in the next week I'm going to get my Platinum Body Magic Award. Anna's bike should be arriving imminently, we hope, unless it's going to be delayed.
With my knackers Achilles.
Yes, that's great timing. So we're going to be talking as more of us return to exercise during lockdown. We're going to continue to investigate why movement matters, the impact it has, and how actually, for so many of us, like me, I haven't had a loss in terms of a certificate for over a year. But I will, as of next week, have had 3 certificates, all thanks to getting Body Magic. So an idea of... what you can do when it feels like everything is a bit squiff. So, in the meantime, have a great week. Go eat something nice for tea.
Yeah.
What are you having for tea tonight?
I don't even know.
You haven't thought about it?
I'm going to do a food trip after here.
Oh, I had a cheeseburger pasta with like vegan mints the other day. It's in the Take 5 Second Helpings book. It's also in the magazine. Go check it out.
Oh, I know what I'm
It was unreal.
I'm going to do sausage and mash with a meat-free sausage.
What's your speed?
Oh, I'm going to have asparagus, green beans, sugar snap peas and onion gravy.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. I'm hungry already.
Ooh,
hope you are too. See you later.
Bye.